Hello, respected viewers. I'm George from Ireland. If you like this video, please remember to like at the end, subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Another thing, is it better lit? I'm using these one of these things for the very first time. What do you think? But the main light's off. Anyway, so Trump's negotiation strategy. Well, here we are Friday night. He's going to be inaugurated on Monday. So another 4 years of Trump, if he survives. Anyway, he's vowed that he would bring that war to an end in 24 hours. Well, ha, ha, ha. So by lunchtime on Tuesday, it's all over. So yet another lie. Even Trump says that he won't be able to fulfill that one. Lie after lie after lie after lie, unblushingly told. Broken promise after broken promise after broken promise. You can follow that over Trump's entire business career, as well as political career, going back, you know, almost 60 years. But anyway, his Ukraine strategy is really misconceived, because if you show that to Putin this urge of you to get peace, then Putin thinks, well, you'll want peace at any price. And I'll only give you peace at an extremely high price. You have to give me the whole of Ukraine. If not the whole, half. I have to agree that Ukraine will never join NATO, will never be allowed to join the European Union, which I know is up to the EU, not Trump, but that Putin say, you're going to have to demand this, so I stop, and you're going to somehow get the International Criminal Court to rescind its warrant for me and rescission of warrants for other people. No reparations have to be paid, blah, blah, blah. And no, I won't guarantee to return the 20,000 children I kidnapped from Ukraine. Some of those 8,000 Ukrainian prisoners of war may not be returned. So, and then Putin will hold a lot more of the cards. So why it's very foolish to say that you're desperate for something, and therefore Trump has really weakened his bargaining position. His playing hardball helps. Now, Putin's obviously playing hardball at the moment, losing up to 2,000 troops a day, killed or wounded, to really up the tempo. He thinks Ukrainians might crack, but to make Ukraine's allies think, my God, the Russians really are committed to it. They have a limitless reservoir of manpower. This war is never going to end in Ukrainian victory. The Russians could keep going for this a long time. Obviously, Russians can't keep going for that long time. At this rate, they would lose almost 700,000 troops a year, killed or wounded. As I say, I do think the 2,000 a day is probably an overestimate. And the Russians don't intend to keep going at this rate. They would have to slow down in the spring, when the snow and ice starts to melt in March, it becomes very muddy. So that they just couldn't keep up this intensive operations for those reasons. It would resume intensity maybe in May. And they're having their own supply problems with shells, with drones, with rockets, with missiles, with barrels for howitzers and tanks and things like that. You know, losing so many tanks on personal carriers, infantry fighting vehicles faster than they can replace them. So for those reasons, it would slow down in the middle of 2025. So then Putin thinks, well, if Trump hasn't brought peace within 24 hours, that's a failure for him already on day one of his presidency. So I think for Trump to bring it in 24 weeks might be more realistic than 24 hours. And also, he doesn't want to get out in history as a president who lost Ukraine, just like Biden lost Afghanistan by implementing Trump's plan. And if Trump cuts the Ukrainians off, Russia overruns Ukraine, threatens other countries, then that would be a defeat. Trump would be a loser to start with. Other things to bear in mind, because also Trump's saying, and if Vladimir Vladimirovich doesn't negotiate at least a ceasefire on what Donald J. Trump regards as reasonable terms, then the United States would enormously increase military aid to Ukraine. But obviously the Russians are aware of how the American system works, and it's Congress as the power of the purse, not the White House. And Congress may not do so. And Trump has given aid and comfort to those Republicans who advocated reducing military aid to Ukraine, cutting it off, who held up that $60 billion aid package for months at a crucial stage of the war. And the Ukrainians are still suffering from that, are still recovering, were driven back because of that, and would be in a much stronger position now had that not happened. So obviously Trump's had it both ways, has castigated Biden for not arming the Ukrainians enough, and for arming them too much. He contradicts himself, he's all over the place, is completely incoherent, but there is no cogency, logic, common decency, reason, good sense intelligence or truth with Donald J. Trump. But yeah, it's a moronic negotiating strategy. I mean, obviously, I would like Ukraine to be saved. I would like Ukraine to win the war. I don't see them winning militarily. I think the best there's hope for is maybe avoid losing it, is maybe something that is called a draw, maybe close to Ukrainian victory. As Putin's goal was to subjugate the whole of Ukraine, he has failed. He had 10% of it before this war began in 2022. Maybe got another 10% of it, 20% in total. Okay, he's achieved something, but it's nowhere near his goal. He's not demilitarized Ukraine. He will not have overthrown the Ukrainian democratically elected government. So that's two failures already. He will just have legally occupied a bit more land. But yeah, Trump's stratagem is moronic, like almost everything else he does. We shall see. Because if Trump wants to increase military aid to Ukraine, the United States Congress might not do so. And remember that they need more than a simple majority in both houses. Obviously, his party controls both houses. And a lot of people who supported him would say, no, we're not going to vote for more military aid. Even if he gets military aid, it could be a much lower amount. It's going to take several months to do so. And then that will discourage the Europeans from doing so. But the good news is, NATO countries said, oh, my goodness, we need to increase arms production in 2022. And they're doing it. And by 2022, it will have reached a higher level of production. They can't go from low to high instantly. You know, even the HIMARS rockets to double production, they said would take up to 2 years. Well, over 3 years into the war, yeah, they've done it. And some of the money that was allocated ages ago, it doesn't result in actually things having been built immediately. It's not done overnight. So that's why Trump has really undermined his negotiating position. And Putin thinks he might be able to wring significant concessions out of Donald Trump. Moreover, NATO unity is fragmenting. I think this war will be over. And, you know, the Prime Minister of Slovakia, Robert Fico, he already visited Moscow a couple of months ago. Some people are agitating to lift the sanctions. Then the oil and gas price will come down. There are lucrative and tempting energy deals to be had, other business deals to be had, to be the first one back in. Any thoughts on potential European army? Well, I'm a Eurosceptic. I like the Republic of Ireland to leave the European Union, rejoin the United Kingdom. Now, I'm not bating my breath for that. But as the Irish Republic, we're a member of the European Union, and there's really no prospect of us leaving. Politics, the art of the possible. Again, I'm not in favor of it. There's already the European Rapid Reaction Force. As Romano Prodi said over 20 years ago, that is a European army. If you don't want to call it that, call it something else. But that's the fact what it is. And EU troops acting under an EU flag have already done peacekeeping missions in Kosovo and Bosnia-Herzegovina. I've seen them almost 20 years ago. If there is to be a European common defense policy and foreign policy, I suppose you've got to have an EU army. It all pull in the same direction. And it's rather illogical that some EU countries are in NATO and others are not. A European army is not necessarily a terrible idea, especially in view of these threats from Russia. I don't want one, but obviously Putin's tyranny would be far worse than that. Right, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure to subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Goodbye.